Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dear Saints, a blessed day of Pentecost to each of you, a day on which we celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles in Jerusalem for one very specific purpose. But in order to rightly understand the significance of this day and that one specific purpose, we want to turn back to our Old Testament reading today, and in fact, even a little before that, in the book of Genesis, to Genesis chapter 6, to one of the saddest passages in all of Scripture. Right before the flood, the Lord looked upon the status of mankind. It says, "The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." And what comes right before that sad statement is the description of what mankind had become. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." To hear this statement, to hear of the Lord being filled with sorrow, of looking at mankind, the pinnacle of his creation, and being grieved to his heart, there is immense sadness and disappointment, gut-wrenching remorse. So the Lord decides what he is going to do. He is going to wipe mankind off the earth. All who have not believed in him, which is everyone on the planet except for eight. Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives. There is a cleansing of the earth that is going to happen, but it happens with massive destruction and death. Everything that has the breath of life is destroyed outside of the ark. After the flood, Noah and his family come off the ark, along with all of the animals that have been preserved. And it is like a whole new beginning. In fact, it's just like the beginning, right? When Adam and Eve were given everything at the beginning of the earth, and the words are even the same as at the original creation. God blessed Noah and his family and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." God establishes his covenants with them and promises that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Now, trusting the Lord's promises and according to the Lord's blessing, Noah and his family, they begin to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that's what Genesis chapter 10 tells us all about. But in that chapter, we also meet one of Noah's sons, Ham. And remember, Ham was the one that got into trouble with the incident with his father and him being uncovered. One of Ham's sons was Cush, and one of Cush's sons was named Nimrod. So by the time we get to Nimrod, Nimrod is now the great-grandson of Noah. And we're told that Nimrod built a kingdom and that it began with the city of Babel. And that's where our Old Testament reading comes in today. Chapter 11. Nimrod makes a terribly sad statement, or those who are with him. They say, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." This is sad to hear because by this point, the people have clearly forgotten the Lord once again. They've been filled with pride, wanting to make themselves like God, living way up in the heavens, having a name that is praised and magnified in all the earth, but they want that recognition, They don't trust God to be faithful to his promise either. God promised to never send a flood again, so they are building a tower with bitumen that is impervious to waters and high enough that they can survive if God in fact does send another flood. And they've clearly rebelled against the Lord's command as well. They haven't trusted that he knows what is best. God had said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But they want to build this tower, saying, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. So God says, fill the earth, and they say, no, we want to stay right here. So, what does the Lord do now? He's not going to destroy the people with a flood. He promised never to do that again. No, instead, the Lord is going to deal with their language. People were all of one language, and so the Lord goes down and confuses their language so that they would not understand one another's speech. And thus, the Lord made his original plan, his original dispersion command, happen. The language is confused, the people leave off building the city, and they go and spread out over all the earth, just as the Lord had willed. So we're told, therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Now there is a reason that we begin with that text on this day of Pentecost, because on Pentecost we see a reversal of sorts of the confusion of language that happened at the Tower of Babel. At Babel, when they could no longer speak with one another, they left off building, and they spread out and dispersed. But now, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, conquering sin and death, there are Jews that are from every nation from around the world that are back in Jerusalem, gathered there for one of the three festivals that God had set apart for them to gather here. But as they are there, the apostles are gathered in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit suddenly falls upon them. And there are tongues of fire divided that land on each one of them or are resting upon them, and they are also filled with different tongues, so that they begin speaking different languages. And all these multitude of people come together at this noise, and they hear the mighty works of God being proclaimed in each of their native languages. This is truly an amazing and incredible day. They are hearing the proclamation of the gospel. They are hearing about the death and the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord. They are hearing of repentance and forgiveness. Peter stands up on that day and preaches with boldness and without fear. He calls sin, sin, and he calls Jesus the Savior of sinners, saying that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is the very specific purpose of which I spoke in the beginning. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit in order for the gospel to be proclaimed, in order to call and gather and enlighten and sanctify and keep you in the one true faith by the word of Christ. Remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so, instead of building our own towers like Nimrod, instead of trying to save ourselves and not trusting in the Lord's promise, the Holy Spirit is sent to preach that God has sent his Son for you, and his name is Jesus, and that he is the only tower that will save you, and his name is the only one given under heaven by which we can be saved. This is a message that is not to remain just in one place, But this message is to go out into all the world, making disciples of every nation through baptizing and teaching. After all, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called into the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, unfortunately, there is a movement that is called Pentecostalism that rises and falls within Christianity over the years. Pentecostalism seeks to build its own mountaintop experience, to repeat the experience of the day of Pentecost, imagining that there must have been a certain fervor that would have been among all of the people on that first Pentecost, and trying to replicate that fervor with a certain feeling, and imagining that the divided tongues of fire that rested on each of them on that first Pentecost must now be a fire that would be burning in your own heart every time that you gather. And imagining that the speaking in tongues given to the apostles on that first Pentecost, that you now have to have this experience of speaking in tongues if you are to be a true Christian. The problem is that speaking in tongues that took place on the day of Pentecost, well, it's totally different than the speaking in tongues that the Pentecostalism looks for today. On the day of Pentecost, the speaking in tongues is the very way in which our Lord made sure that the death and resurrection of Jesus was proclaimed, that the forgiveness of sins was given to those who repent of their sins. And it was given in real languages, so that all may hear and believe. But in Pentecostalism, the speaking in tongues usually involves someone speaking gibberish, someone not speaking anything that anyone else can understand, and perhaps even falling to the floor and rolling around. This searching for some sort of Pentecost experience, it draws a person not to the Lord, but instead, Pentecostalism turns people inward, to themselves, to try to look within themselves and figure out whether they have had a high enough experience, whether they have truly had a burning or a speaking in tongues, and thus whether they are a true Christian or not. And this speaking in tongues is vanity, by the way, because the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that tongues will pass away and prophecies will end. But the Bible makes it very clear that the word of the Lord will endure forever. The tongues of Pentecost, they are in service to something that is much greater, something that is much more important, and something that will never cease. The tongues of Pentecost are simply there so that the word of God may be proclaimed. Simple words that proclaim the mighty deeds of the Lord, words that cut men to the heart, and words that answer their guilt and shame with the hope of Christ, saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit of Pentecost, the one that Jesus and the Father sent, that Spirit brings everything to you by the external word. He teaches you all things by bringing to your remembrance what Jesus said, by glorifying Christ, by working faith and love toward God in you, that by his grace you would hear and keep his holy word. By the word, he turns you away from yourself, By the word, he turns you so that you do not look to your name, not to your own tower or your own works. He does not turn you to fear and doubt his promises, but instead, dear saints, by the word of the Lord, he brings you the name of Jesus, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He brings this to you through holy baptism, bestowing on you the forgiveness of your sins and pouring out richly upon you his grace. And then, by that word, keeping you in that name, you call upon him. And so this, then, is how the day of Pentecost ends. It says at the end of Peter's sermon, when the people were cut to the heart and then were baptized, it says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and the prayers." What is this describing? It is none other than the divine service. The divine service is the culmination of the day of Pentecost. Not gathering to try to speak in tongues or to fall on the ground and speak gibberish. No, the Holy Spirit uses the divine service, the word and the sacraments, to build his church. The great gift of Pentecost, it isn't the speaking in tongues. Instead, it is the culmination of those 3,000 gathering for the divine service, of getting baptized, of listening to preaching and praying together and breaking the bread of the Lord's Supper. This is the Holy Spirit's great work. And it is our peace and our great joy to gather around it today and every week. It is our peace against all trouble and fear, against all sadness and guilt. Truly, as Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs to it and is safe." In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting.